good to see all of you again. We truly do appreciate what the press does for us here, the good coverage you guys always give us every year. As Ron said, I'm the immediate past president of NPPC and chair of the NPPC Trade Policy Committee, and I'm going to be discussing some trade issues, particularly TPA, and I'll use that acronym, Trade Promotion Authority, TPP, like you all know what that is. Cool. And then also I'm going to talk about the Swine Health Information Center at the end. Steve, you keep taking those pictures and I get a buck for each one, I'm going to be rich. I'm sure that you all know our top trade issues right now are the Trade Promotion Authority, TPA, and COOL. On COOL, we're urging Congress to act quickly to repeal labeling provisions for pork, beef, and poultry so that we avoid trade retaliation from Canada and Mexico. The WTO found that COOL isn't compliant with international trade rules and soon will authorize Canada and Mexico to place tariffs on literally billions of dollars worth of U.S. goods, including pork. At this point, there's really no time to fix it. That's passed. We had a chance in the Farm Bill. We worked hard. We couldn't get it done. But retaliation will destroy jobs and negatively affect the U.S. economy. And it could come as early as August of this year. We don't need or want tariffs on pork exports going to our number two and number three export markets, Canada and Mexico. On TPA, NPPC is leading the agricultural community effort to get it approved. As you know, the Senate passed TPA 11 days ago, so we've turned our sights now on working through this with the House. We need TPA to finalize free trade agreements, which are vital to U.S. pork industry. Last year, we exported nearly $6.7 billion worth of pork, representing about 27% of our total production. And those exports added almost $63 to the price producers received for each hog they sold. Of course, the biggest and most important trade deal which we need TPA is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This partnership includes 11 Pacific Rim countries, including Japan, Mexico, and Canada, and those are our number one, number two, and number three markets. So you can tell why it's so important to us. TPP would be the biggest commercial opportunity ever for the U.S. pork industry, and we would boost the U.S. economy tremendously. If all tariffs and non-tariff barriers are eliminated in each TPP nation, more than 10,000 new agricultural jobs would be created in the United States, and U.S. pork exports would grow by 50% within the next 10 years after implementation of the agreement. Of all the TPP participants, Japan, Vietnam, and Australia have the most significant markets for increase for U.S. pork exports. Japan, of course, is our largest U.S. pork export market in terms of value. In 2014, we shipped about $1.9 billion worth of pork to Japan. NPPC has worked hard to position pork producers for huge market access gains in Japan through the TPP negotiations, which I'm sure you've followed. Vietnam's estimated pork imports represent less than 2% of the country's total pork consumption of nearly 2 million metric tons a year, but U.S. pork exports, unfortunately, are limited by tariffs and non-tariff barriers. NPPC is pushing hard in the TPP negotiations to get those barriers eliminated. If we succeed, U.S. pork sales to Vietnam will increase by hundreds of millions of dollars, according to a prominent agricultural economist, who I won't mention, but his initials are Dr. Dermot Hayes. On Australia, this is an important $200 million market for U.S. pork because of the U.S.-Australian free trade agreement. And U.S. pork is the top U.S. agriculture export to Australia. However, chilled and frozen U.S. pork cannot be sold at retail in Australia, which maintains some non-scientific-based barriers that limit us to sending either processed pork, frozen pork, or boneless pork for further processing. NPPC is working in the TPP negotiations to get those barriers eliminated. While we're pressing U.S. trade negotiators to resolve the issues with Australia, Japan, and Vietnam, we've already achieved some TPP successes with a number of important markets. Chile and Peru agreed to eliminate trichina testing requirements on chilled pork based on USDA certification that the pork originated from PQA Plus farms. Those victories, coupled with existing FTAs with several South American nations, will help increase U.S. pork exports there. We've already grown by 500% over the past 5 years in South America. Malaysia, which has excellent potential for increased pork exports, had a de facto ban on U.S. pork products since 2011, imposing individual plant registration and inspection requirements. The country eliminated all of its non-tariff barriers, another success. New Zealand, like Australia, restricted market access for U.S. pork based on unscientific concerns about the transmission of PRRS, but a risk assessment determined that the likelihood of transmission of PRRS is one case in every 1,227 years, and the country eliminated that trade-distorting non-tariff barrier. Finally, Singapore recently agreed to lift its ban on pathogen reduction treatments, which will reopen the market to U.S. pork. In addition to the TPP negotiations that have been underway, we have the Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership, or TTIP as we refer to it, a free trade agreement between the U.S. and the European Union. To achieve the same outcome for U.S. pork with the EU that the U.S. has reached with all the other FTA partners, complete open trade, EU import duties on pork must be eliminated, and all non-tariff barriers, including SPF restrictions, must be removed. Furthermore, U.S. trade negotiators must reject any non-scientific-based proposals, such as animal welfare measures by the EU that, if implemented, could act as a major impediment to agricultural trade. Another important trade matter involves South Africa, which maintains a de facto ban on U.S. pork through a number of, again, non-scientific-based barriers. We're at a significant disadvantage when it comes to gaining access to South Africa's large and growing market for pork because that nation accepts pork from key competitors such as Brazil, Canada, and the European Union. NPPC is working with the U.S. and South African government officials to get that market opened. We also scored a victory on the International Food Safety Standard when the UN's Codex Committee on Food Hygiene agreed to a draft guideline on parasites in food, which encompasses trichinella in pork. Due in large part to NPPC's effort, the international guidelines will define negligible risk for trichinella, develop methods for monitoring the disease, and approve methods for testing, all of which will greatly increase confidence in the safety of pork. We expect the guidelines to be finalized in July at the Codex meeting. On another important matter, we're seeing things get back to normal at the nation's West Coast ports, which are vital to U.S. pork exports. About 60% of the U.S. pork exports are shipped on the water, and about 80% of that exit through those West Coast ports. So you can understand why that was so critical to us this last winter. In 2014, roughly 8.4 billion of U.S. meat and poultry cleared West Coast ports. That's more than $160 million a week. And as you know, from November of last year to February of this year, there was that work slowdown by dock workers because of labor disputes between the union and the association, which represents those port facilities. As a result of the slowdown, U.S. pork exports in the first quarter of 2015 were down 14% in value and 10% in volume over the same period of 2014. The cost of the slowdown to the U.S. meat and poultry sector was conservatively estimated to be in excess of $40 million per week. NPPC was very active in pushing to get the ports operating at normal speed, spearheading letters, and holding meetings with top labor and infrastructure officials. We remain engaged on this issue, working to construct methods to prevent similar situations from occurring in the future. Before I conclude the remarks on trade and COOL, I want to go back to TPA. Again, this must be approved if not only the U.S. pork industry, but the entire U.S. economy wants to move ahead. The importance of TPA is so great that for the first time in a long time, NPPC will key vote this issue. This means that we will communicate with all 435 House members that if they vote against TPA, we will tell the country's 68,000 pork producers, our allied industry companies, and the whole world that we will use that vote in making decisions related to our political contributions. Basically, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. I want to take just a few minutes to also talk about the Swine Health Information Center. I think most of you have probably heard about this if you've been to meetings this past winter. As you know, the Pork Board appropriated $15 million for this project over the next 5 years. It'll be a program that will be separate from the Pork Board. It'll focus on industry preparedness for disease challenges that could affect the U.S. swine herd. This is really an outgrowth of the fact and the recognition that we were ill-prepared to handle a disease like PED, which the government has termed a transboundary disease. I think our diagnostic labs, our veterinarians, our producers responded as well as possible, but we were not prepared. We did not have diagnostic capabilities. All those had to be developed, which was done very quickly. The center is governed by a board. It consists of two members from the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, two members from NPPC, and two members from the Pork Board. From AASV, Matt Anderson and Daryl Olson, and Daryl Olson is the president of the board. From NPPC, Bill Lucky and myself, and I'm the vice president of the board. And from the National Pork Board, it's Brett Kaysen and Mark Greenwood, and Mark Greenwood is the treasurer. And then we have four at-large pork producers on the board, Mike Terrell, and Matthew Turner. And the big news that I'd like to announce, and you're the first to hear it, is that Saturday we did an international search for the director of this center, and Saturday we made an offer to an individual who you're all very familiar with, and on Monday that individual, much to our pleasure, accepted the directorship. And I'd like to announce that Dr. Paul Sundberg, who's in our midst, is our new director of SHIC. And Paul, if you want to step forward and make a comment, Paul asked me how I was going to introduce him, and I said, well, I'll just say that you're very passionate, you're full of piss and vinegar, and ready to go. So, congratulations.
Just a quick comment. I'm really excited about this opportunity. This is an opportunity for the pork industry, unprecedented way to improve swine health in our country. And I'm really excited about getting this going. I'm thankful that I get the opportunity to help with that effort. I will still be at the Pork Board through the end of June, and we'll get this thing going in earnest the first part of July. Thank you.